Welcome to. Hold on. Here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Welcome. Now I can hear myself. Welcome. Now, this is the 68th day of 2021. Can you believe that already? And the month of March. And not only that, we will be upping the clocks an hour this Saturday at midnight. And not only that, guess what? Easter is the first Sunday in April. Already, boy, this year is moving right along, isn't it? And then I hear that soon you will be allowed to, once everyone is vaccinated in your home, in your family, you can visit from house to house without wearing your mask. So everyone, please get your vaccinations. I know that some are being taken at a Smith Clinic by appointments only, and not only that, Ohio Health Department, you can call them and make appointments also, and they are distributing the vaccinations out at Marka. But you do have to call for a vaccination. And there are 297 days left in the new year. Boy, we got a lot of time to do good or do bad, don't we, Jeff?
Yep.
Yes. Now, this is WWGH 107.1 FM radio. My name is Linda Sims, and this is called A Voice of a People. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app on any electronic device. The app is called TuneIn. Once you download it, search WWGH. If you would like to call in with questions or make comments, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their free produce market will open up April the 17th, 2021, from the hour of 12 noon until 2 p.m. So mark your calendars. If you know someone who may benefit from the free produce, please share that information with them. And if it's just you, please take advantage of the free produce. We have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 2 years of experience working for you. Owner Cheryl Lee. Location LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. Before I get to that, let me read this announcement. Choosing God's Best Singles Conference, Men and Women Welcome, Saturday, April the 17th, 2021, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Register at mymytgp.org/singles. Donation $15. Lunch is provided. Location is 1300 Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, Ohio. There will be time of worship, guest speakers, panel of men, panel of women, and breakout sessions. So if you're not doing anything, mark your calendars for that. Share that information with people that you may know that may be single, okay? I'm sure they will be giving out good and sound information, okay? Now, thought for today. I had something else to share with you, and you know it. Oh, I know what it is. We would like to give our sympathy to Tara Dyer and her family. I think her oldest sibling, Celie. I think her last name was Upton. I don't know what her new name is now, but Celie passed away, and I'm not sure if it was yesterday or I think it was yesterday. And we're sending out our condolences to her. And many of you know Tara Dyer. She's been a teacher here in Marion, Ohio for 35 years and retired. And she is the auntie of O.J. McDuffie. Many of you know that he played for the Florida Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, and Homer McDuffie, I think he was a coach at Harding High School. It's that family that I'm talking about. We're sending out our condolences. Our love, our thoughts, and our prayers are with you. And we pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you and give you peace during this time of bereavement. We love you, and God bless. Okay, now, the gift of the present. Not someone bringing you a present, but the gift of the present, like right now, okay? Let's see what that gift sounds like. All right, let's see what it says. That's the title, The Gift of the Present. Okay. When the past is mixed into the present, it prevents you from experiencing the happiness the present offers, like right now. Present. Okay. So the question is, how do you forget the past? That's a good question. Focus your attention on that which is good in the present. Do not compare the present with the past. That's how you get over it. Now I need to turn my attention to my guest today, Jeff Porter. How are you? He is the author of Expressions of the Last Days. How you doing?
I'm just wonderful. You know, it's funny you should mention that about forgetting about the past.
Uh-huh.
Because I had post-traumatic stress for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And that anxiety, it makes you focus on the past so much. And that's one of the big problems with it, you know, is like guys coming back from war.
Uh-huh.
And they have these vivid dreams and vivid constantly thinking about the past. And when the Lord delivered me from post-traumatic stress, I don't even worry about the past anymore.
Really?
God has completely delivered me from that. Oh, once in a while, like a normal person thinks, you know.
Okay.
Wonder what happened to Heidi, you know. You know, where'd she go? I haven't seen her for a long time or something like that. But I don't worry about my successes or failures in the past.
Right, right,
anymore.
Right.
And it's such a release.
Amen.
I mean, it's so relaxing. Post-traumatic causes you to worry about everything. You know, and I just don't have that anymore.
Well, good. That's a good thing.
It's completely gone.
Isn't that something?
It delivered me from caffeine addiction.
You was talking about that last time now. You know, some people are really addicted to that. You have to
coffee.
Tell them. Yeah.
America's a coffee fiend.
Yes, it is.
And delivered me from smoking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even desire to smoke anymore. I tried a million times to quit smoking. Tried patches. I tried, what is that? It's also.
The gum, the Nicorette gum.
I tried Nicorette gum. Yep. I think Dr. Idris gave me that. And let's see. It's also an antidepressant. But anyways, I almost quit on that.
Okay.
But I think the Lord, what it was, is the Lord wanted me to realize that it had to be Him.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was just impossible to quit smoking. It was so hard. I might as well try to quit heroin.
Ooh.
You know.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying, because addictions are hard.
They are.
They're hard. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, I woke up one morning. That was right after I had been delivered from the post-traumatic,
mm-hmm.
but I still had the addictions. I woke up in the morning, and I had no desire to smoke anymore.
Okay.
And I still drink coffee, but just once in a while when I feel like it.
Right.
You know, I'm not addicted to it anymore. And so, look at all that God has done. I was an atheist.
Wow.
I got saved. And I ended up on the streets because of, I don't know, I think I was supposed to be there, in a way. And God delivered me from the streets, though. And I'm living in a house now with a car, a stereo, and TV and all that stuff.
Shut
I got
up.
Plenty
Look at
of
God.
Money.
Shut up. Ooh,
yeah.
Can I get a loan?
Well, to me, it's plenty of money.
Yeah.
You know, after being so poor for so long.
Till someone yeah. come along like me and say, hey, can I borrow
yeah,
some money?
Can I have some money, please?
Oh, no, just.
And joking. Just, he's just done so much, you know.
Isn't that beautiful? You're a brand new man,
mm-hmm.
a brand new creature.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff is right. Addictions are hard, but they are not impossible.
All things are possible with God.
Yes, they are. All things. He's a brand new man. Wow. Atheist.
Yes.
That's a big one.
Well, I had an uncle that was an atheist or slash agnostic, whatever he was. And he was always bringing up all these arguments against the gospel, you know.
Okay.
My mom used to get so mad at him. She said, I'm not going to let you talk to him.
Right, right.
You know, one day I sat in the house, I said, oh, don't worry, I'll come up with answers to this.
Right.
Someday, but I ended up agreeing with him.
Did you?
Yeah, because it puts doubts in your head.
Yeah, it does.
You know, and I still have questions, but not like I did back then, you know. Back then, he knew I was the curious, like, scientific type. And wanted a logical explanation for everything, you know.
Hello, caller.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to reach somebody else.
Wrong number?
Okay. Of course.
Yeah.
And,
all that static.
So through high school, for much of middle school and high school, I was an atheist, and I was pretty much an atheist when I went in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
But I ran into Mike, who was an American Indian, and he was not an atheist. He was more into the occult.
Okay.
You know, almost a Satan worshiper, but not quite gone that far, you know. And I learned a lot from him. But later on, he got saved, and then I realized that I needed to get saved, really, because God had been after me. But and I told you how that happened. I kept going to Bucyrus with a friend of mine and going to the bars and drinking. Mm-hmm. And one time when I went with him, there was this gigantic feeling that came over me that said, "Don't go home with your friend. Call a cab or something."
Mm-hmm.
And it was so strong. I was got up and I was going to go do it. And I thought, I can't leave my friend here like that.
Right.
So I went with him, and then he started driving like a maniac. On the way back, he had the accelerator pedal to the metal, and got up to about 100, and we hit the berm there with the gravel, and then shot across. He lost control of the car. We shot across the road, which we were very lucky that we didn't meet with somebody going left to center like that. We had a telephone pole and a sign flipped over sideways several times, I would suppose, as fast as we were going, it had to be several times. And we ended up upside down on the other side of the road. And I saw an opening here that was part of the window was still open. So I was able to pull myself out, and I pulled my friend out. There we are looking at the car, and the wheels are still kind of turning. There's steam coming off of it. But before we crashed, this is, you know, all these spiritual things happening here. On the way, just before my friend started driving like a maniac, I felt the presence of Christ in the back.
Oh, wow.
In the back seat. And, you know, I was not a believer. You know, and I turned to my friend and I said, "Gary, I feel the presence of Christ in the back seat." He said, "What's he there for?" And I said, "He keeps saying that everything's going to be all right," which he did. You know, he said
that. And this was before you was a believer?
Before I got saved. And in other words, he was telling me, "I'm saving your skin because..."
You don't want to leave your friend.
No, I had a mission ahead of me.
Right,
you know,
okay.
And but I think, you know, it was part of the salvation trip, you know. So once we got to the hospital, I just had a little cut on my hand, and a small cut on my right hand, and they sewed that up. And other than the shock and I still had glass in my hair and little cuts and bruises all over me, but nothing serious.
Right, right. Well, praise God.
Wow.
Yes.
And that played a big part. I hadn't got saved yet, but boy, it sure made a major impression on me.
I bet it did.
You know.
One you couldn't shake.
No. But see, I was turned off by the church during that time, and I I just felt a deadness.
Did you?
Yeah, and I said, if God is this boring, you know,
right,
no
right.
thanks, you know?
Right.
So, and I used to go to a Methodist church with Mom and Dad. It was, you know, Mom and Dad were decent, you know, they wanted to take me to church, make sure I turn into a good guy.
Right, right.
And everything, but that Methodist church was, man, talk about Snoresville, man. Some of those sermons... I could preach better than that with no training, you know?
Yeah.
Oh. And so I remember the Sunday school classes were kind of like that. But I remember one time the teacher was talking about David and Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I want one of my students to come up here and tell a little, just a story about how David slung the stone. And everybody just sat there, so I guess I felt sorry. She was a nice woman. So I got up and they had those velvet characters they put up on that board.
Yes, the felt,
yeah.
Yeah,
they were always using those.
Yeah.
And so I went up there and said, you know, that David's got a smooth stone and put it in his sling and slung it at good old Goliath and it hit him right in the forehead. Something you never would have thought of.
Right.
You know.
Something and, so trivial, too. You know, that's
yeah.
Just,
what, a little stone.
Right,
what's that going
right.
to do?
In
you know?
Slingshot, yeah.
But hit in the right place, it can.
And the right power behind it.
Yeah. I'm sure he would have missed if it wasn't for God.
Oh, wow. Because, you know, it said it sunk into
yeah.
his forehead, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just didn't hit it and
can you imagine if Celestine standing there watching him go, yeah. You know, I don't believe this. Yeah. You know, and it's a boy.
Yeah, 8.5-foot giant, too.
You know, and here he has this big, gigantic sword, a big, gigantic shield. You know, and David just slays him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he runs over there and cuts his head off.
Yeah.
He'd barely pick up the sword. It was so heavy.
Gee. All that confidence he had in his God.
Yeah. But first you got to slay the lion, you got to slay the panther, or
yeah,
what
the
was it?
The bear. And we know how vicious those bears are. Oh, my gosh. They'll swipe you with their paw. And
oh, my gosh. A grizzly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut you to
Black
pieces.
Bear.
Yes. Cut you to pieces.
So he had to slay the bear and the lion first.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a lady that she has become an apologist. She was, by the way, she had a lot to say about it. She worked for Jimmy Swaggart for a while.
Okay.
And she told about some of the bad stuff that went on behind the scenes.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. But she eventually became a really good apologist. And she talked about that, how she went to, what's his name? Rick something or other. Rick, it's been so long since I've researched that. And she was in that, and it turned out to be a cult. And it was a really viral prosperity cult, is what it was. And they had taken over the PTL club.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about that. She called it. She wrote a book called The View from Beneath.
Mm.
And I brought it here and talked about it one time. I have to do that again. And she,
yeah, because after all, you've been here 7 years.
Yeah, we can go back and do some of the stuff we did before.
Yeah.
The thing was, is, you know, she said it just completely took over her mind and her heart, but she said she felt like God allowed all that to happen so she could experience some of this stuff to be able to minister to people that are caught up in it, you know.
Right.
And so she said she's got websites and stuff. I'm going to have to go find her book. But anyway, she wrote a book about the Rick guy. Rick Joyner. Yeah. Oh, bad news guy, boy. I'm telling you. And, she was on the radio pod. What do they call it? Podcast?
I think so.
She made a podcast about Jimmy Swaggart.
Okay.
And, because I've had a lot of questions about him since this whole thing has happened. She said what their main goal is to get back to where they were,
mm-hmm.
you know, but because their income got slashed in about half. And now, and they had to sell their mansion and a bunch of their cars and stuff. But she said it is really not good.
What really? Goes on you mean as scenes. Of today, Jimmy Swaggart?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he had his own station and everything.
Well, he does, but he's just not, he's not up to where he wants to be. So okay. He does things that are not cool.
Oh, okay.
You know, not kosher.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe it because I ran into a pastor, I can't remember his name. I wouldn't want to mention it anyways, but he graduated from the Jimmy Swaggart
Bible School.
College.
Okay,
college. And I asked him, well, oh, I've had a lot of questions about Jimmy Swaggart. I said, what can you tell me about him? Mm-hmm. He said, well, I could tell you that what you see on TV is not what goes on behind the scenes.
Wow.
And I said, well, wow, I came across somebody that said the same thing, you know, in her book and everything. He said, that's right. He said, I knew, I was intimate with Jimmy Swaggart and his wife, Florence. Mm.
Okay.
And he said, they need to repent, you know, of what they're doing. So.
Wow.
They're doing a lot of bad things. That's what he said.
Hmm. Oh, well.
And he is not, he, if you knew him, he's one of these people that, he's a pastor, he pastors Pentecostal church over there on Leader Street, just off of Leader and
in Marion Leader Street.
Yeah, just off of Leader and he's right across from Fred's Ice Cream.
Oh, Word of Life Church.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know his name?
I don't know his name, but I know.
Anyways, he's not the type that tells a bunch of lies.
Yeah,
you know
he seems to be a pretty decent. Yeah.
Pretty straightforward guy, so
yeah. And they're really prospering over there. They got a lot of youth, a lot of youth.
Yeah, and I had people get on the bus and say they've been delivered from heroin and
really
all kinds of drugs and illnesses and stuff. Oh yeah, I visited his church a couple times, but it's a little bit too radical for me.
Is it?
Yeah, a little bit.
I haven't been there in a long time, but.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, yeah. You know, if they want to be radical, that the reason they are is probably because they've been delivered from so much.
Yeah, they're on fire.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking
Maybe
about.
They
yeah,
make you on fire. And speaking of that, okay, I've talked about the church being too much focused on money,
mm-hmm.
And that's why the prosperity message was so successful. In America is because Americans are so worried about their pocketbook, which I can understand to a degree. I mean, America suffered from the Depression,
mm-hmm.
and suffered from money loss during World War II. And when the guys came back from World War II, they were determined to make America successful, prosperous,
okay.
strong, which is not a bad idea. But there's such a thing as being overboard with stuff.
True.
You know. And so when they started building up the churches again, they became too focused on materialism and money. And Jesus warned the church about that, especially the church of Laodicea.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was saying was is that, you know, even today we've got even worse ideas, you know. These pastors, like on TV and stuff, they're supposed to be considered successful because they've got a lot of people in their church, you know. In other words, big attendance, that's supposed to be success.
Mm-hmm.
Or big money coming in. I remember one guy that visited the VITM, he was supposed to be a prophet or something. And he said something like, he was at some big Christian conference, and he said, boy, I sure would like to pass the plate around at that church, because it was so big. See, a lot of money, people, a lot of people putting money in the plate.
Yes, absolutely.
And that is not the attitude we're supposed to have, you know.
No, not the attitude. You can't serve God and mammon, but you do want to be a part of a church that is successful and that you are successful also. Not that that's your main reason for going, but you don't want to go to a dead church or a broke church and everybody's in the soup line either. You know, because...
I think I'd rather... I could go to one of those.
I wouldn't want to stay there. I would want to know that my God, like he says, I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to be broke all the time. I would like to be able to get me a car every now and then, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, buy my rent or whatever, you know, because, as you know...
We consider that to be, though, success.
Yes, a success, absolutely.
And Jesus said that our main goal should be to win souls.
That's the Great Commission, right?
Yeah. So, a lot of times, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
I got one for you, though. Mm-hmm. Remember, Solomon asked for wisdom. He said, because you asked for wisdom and you didn't think about yourself and what you needed, I'm going to give you all these other things. He said, you will be the richest man that ever lived. You know, so everything else came with that. So I agree with you. Your intent should be to win souls. God will take care of everything else we need, right?
Right.
All righty. Okay.
Yeah. In other words, there needs to be a balance.
Mm-hmm. A balance.
The Church of Laodicea, that was in Revelation 3.
That's Revelation 3.
Let's start with verse 14. And to the angel of the Church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, I do not know that you are wretched. Do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? I counsel you to buy me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with an eye salve, that you may see. Very interesting that he said he wanted a church that is refined in the fire. Gold is refined. What does he mean? We're refined in the fire.
Holy Ghost. On fire.
Could he also mean that we have to go through fires?
Well,
as a Christian?
I remember receiving the Holy Spirit once I was saved, and it was a fire in my belly.
Yeah.
It burned. And they said that's burning up all that old stuff that's in you, and after that burning is over. And it's not over in a day.
No.
It came up continuously for like months. When I go back to church or read my Bible, you know, you're on fire. You know what I'm saying? For the Lord.
Yeah.
And when that stopped, then you're supposed to be this new creature.
Yeah.
You know, that's why God said, don't forget your first love. When you was on fire for me and that's all you wanted to do was talk to me and read my word and sing praises to me and things like that. And, you know.
I don't think you could stay at that level, though.
No, not at that level.
You'd burn up. You remember those two ladies? I don't know what happened to those two ladies that used to talk before I came in. A long time ago, they used to, and they were so angry with us about being Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? And they'd go, oh, well, you guys swinging from the chandeliers and crawling up the walls and, you know.
But you're right, you can't stay at that height
in
the Lord all the time. But we can still read our Bibles.
I'd sure like to get it back, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, you want to feel something when you go to church. Yeah, you do. You really do. You're like, where's God at?
I've had some pretty good outpourings at VITL.
Yeah.
Really good ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can tell when it's coming on, too. You know, when they're singing the music and I start feeling that buzzing feeling in my head. And
right.
Start feeling the Lord's presence.
Right.
In my heart. And go, oh, wow, here he comes, you know. That is so wonderful.
It is a beautiful feeling.
There is no drug that can come anywhere near what the Lord has to offer.
No. No way.
Now, I think also that the refined fire means that we go through fires. And it's supposed to refine us. you know, this now the prosperity movement, they don't realize what they're doing to themselves. They say, oh, it's supposed to, you know, when you get saved, there goes all your problems out the window. Mm-hmm. Don't have any more problems. You should live a smooth, easy life after that.
Not true.
Perpetual health and perpetual wealth.
Well, you know, they don't understand. Once you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior from sin, the door is open for him to test you just like he did Christ.
Yeah, he had no interest in you until you got saved.
Right. Then here, you was already doing his bidding. Why?
Yeah.
He didn't have to worry about you then. But once you receive Christ, here he tested Christ, remember, in the wilderness. What 3 days? Three tests.
Yeah.
He tests us too.
Yes.
He tests us too.
Yeah, and he's our example.
Yes, he is.
Okay, so if you are the Son of God, I mean, who do you think you are?
Right.
You know, if you're the Son of God, then jump off of this cliff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scripture says God will lift your, what does it say?
His angels will catch you up before your foot hit against a stone.
Right. Yeah. And Jesus said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.
That's right.
In other words, he could test you, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And so he puts us to the test, and we go through those fires. All your problems are gone. I got more problems. I had more problems after I got saved than before.
But different.
Yes, it is much different because
different
you got
problems.
A source to go to.
That's true.
And I know, like the I remember a few years ago, a couple of years ago or something, the Lord spoke to my heart. You know, please let's not have any trials for a while here. And he spoke to my heart. He said, "You're gonna have some trials coming up."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on, Lord. And I did. It started in right after he said that and continued on for a long time. In fact, it's still going on, really.
Right.
And he has made it crystal clear that I'm going through training. You can't always rely on... God gives you a structure. You know, aunts and uncles and friends that can support you.
Right.
Going through trials. But there'll come a time when he'll pull that structure out from under you.
Right, that's true.
And he wants you to get off the grace wagon and start operating on a higher level.
That's true, because we become complacent.
Yes.
It's so easy for us to be complacent, and we don't want to do anything else. We get lazy.
Yes.
Know. That goes for reading the Bible. Oh, I left my Bible. I'm in my bedroom now. I left it in the living room on the coffee table. Oh, I get it tomorrow.
Yeah, I could put on my audio Bible, but I have to reach clear across to the computer over there.
And don't even think about it, you know. My phone is right beside me. Do I think about it? Sometimes I do. But, you know, I can pull up Amplified, and it will read the scriptures for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but do I do that every night? No.
No.
I should do that. But I also wanted you to finish reading that. You stopped at what verse? Because there are, let me see, eye salve that thou mayest see, right? Anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. That was 18. Did you read verse 18?
Okay, going to 19 then.
19.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Boy, that is so true.
Yes, it is true.
I didn't understand that for a long, long time as a Christian. I didn't know God chastised us. I finally realized it after a while that, hey, I'm being chastised here for that thing I did yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, be zealous and repent.
And repent.
He wants you to repent.
Change that mind, right?
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches.
Amen.
And that's why I had this David Ravenhill. He's deceased.
Listen, that's what we were going to talk about.
For God's sake, listen. Well, you know how many times Jesus says, to him who has an ear, let him hear.
Right.
What the Spirit says unto the churches. And so this guy, he's one of those old-time, really good old-time preachers, you know. Okay. And that's what he was talking about this time, is wondering why. And this is clear back in, what, the 70s, I think. And he preached for 49 years as a preacher. David Ravenhill wrote several books. And he's one of these guys that's so practical, like David Wilkerson, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And says, why won't Christians live the life according to what the Word says and not according to what's popular? You know, you take any doctrine and take a second look at it.
Right.
See if you really believe it or not. You know, look at the scriptures that back it up. And see if you really believe what those scriptures say. You know, mm-hmm. Are they too vague? Are they way off course or what? You know, don't just take everything for granted just because something is being preached from the pulpit.
Right.
Doesn't mean that there's any truth in it.
That's true. That's true. You're supposed to compare everything you hear with the Word of God.
That's right. If it doesn't line up,
disregard
throw it out
it.
Or you depart from that church.
That's true. That's true.
You know.
Especially if they're so comfortable lying. It's time to go. It's time to go.
Yeah. And I've run into that with other denominations. I was church hopping for years. Everybody thought that was so terrible, you know. And, oh, you're church hopping. I'll tell you what, I learned a lot about what they all believe, though, and how they operate and stuff. And I ended up at this one. I ended up only staying at this one because the Lord said, stay there. Stay there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's
yes,
true.
I didn't want to because I was so used to church hopping. And it felt so good to go, oh, they're telling another lie here. It's time to go. You know, I heard this one preacher, I could not believe it. But he had the overhead projector, and he was talking about a bunch of church stuff. And he was quoting somebody. And then he turned around and he said, he was quoting somebody, and he said the GD word.
Using the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah. I was sitting there with my mouth open, everybody just sitting there, oh, yeah, like it was normal or something.
Could have been.
And I said, did you hear what he said? Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, oh, yeah, yeah, bye.
So see you later, right?
Yeah, won't see me again.
So I'm out of here.
I used to go to their prayer. They had a prayer group that I met with at the time because I was in between churches at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed out of church for years because I didn't know that it was because of the apostasy, but that's why.
Right.
It's because I didn't want to get caught up in their nonsense, you know, like getting caught in a big whirlpool or something.
What I really wanted to talk about was, well, at least mention this, that, you know, they're beginning to lift bans, lift, like, do I want to say boundaries? They're trying to lift boundaries as far as the COVID-19
yeah.
is concerned. And, you know, we had talked about the end of time and this being a great sign. Now, they say the dangers are not completely over, but now they're still trying to let people be a little bit more at ease and return more to a normal. I say possibly in the next 2 or 3 months, nobody may not even be maxed.
Yeah.
You know, the more people get inoculated against the disease, the more freedom we'll be having here soon. So, and just, I'm talking about the scoffers. The scoffers.
Yeah.
Okay. Because when we say, well, we're living in the last days, that many people didn't die. I mean, the disease is leaving us now, you know, so we're not even, you know, paying attention
to that
anymore. What
did they say, in the United States, close to a million?
Huh?
Close to a million died?
It was over 500,000. That's half a million.
That's a half a million.
Yeah. Yeah. So that many have passed, you know. God forbid, but it happened. You know, it happened. And
Well, people are still dying from
it. Yes, they are still dying. That's what they're saying. You know, it's not over. The scare is not over, but it's not as bad as it was. So now people are going to go back to the way they were, right?
Yeah.
They're going to say, well, it didn't happen. The world didn't end. We're still here. God's not back
yet. That was just a warning.
He's not coming back. Oh, we got a question, huh? All right.
No, I just found that on the internet.
Okay, as of today, 2,520 of Americans. No?
25%.
Oh, 25% of Americans say they won't get vaccinated. That a surprise?
Did you hear all these conspiracy rumors about, what's his name, the computer guy?
The rich man. What's his name?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
Okay.
He came
I need
up
to
with
take some more of my Prevagen. he supposedly had put electronic chips, microchips in the vaccine.
Well, you know. I do not believe that.
I don't either.
You know, they have so many falsehoods out there, many lies, trying to scare people, and people buying it. They believe all this stuff. Well, I heard they was doing this and doing that. You cannot believe everything you hear.
Well, we got this problem, though, in America, and we've had so much corruption and so many lies. We don't know who to believe.
That's sad.
We don't know what to believe anymore. I have always felt that there's something wrong with this virus thing. There's some kind of deception involved with it. I don't know what it is.
Be not deceived. He told us all these things were going to happen, right?
Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
So when you hear one thing and somebody's saying, well, you didn't hear that, well, that's deceiving you, because I did hear that. You know, you may not have meant what I heard you say.
Yeah.
But I heard you say it.
Yeah.
I haven't lost my mind. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I saw this thing last night, a documentary on this senator. I said, where was that? In Oregon? Or Wyoming or something like that. And he was highly respected. He had brought, and he preached about morals, having good morals, mm-hmm. and family values and all that stuff. And he had passed bills that helped normalize that section. You know, he was against gender, you know, the where you make a choice that you're a man and you think you're a woman or something, gender identity. And so there was a 17-year-old boy who was missing, and this lady called in. She heard the alert, and she saw a man with a 17-year-old go into a motel room. So the police came there and knocked on the door just to check it out. Mm-hmm. Well, they caught him in there with that 17-year-old boy, as senator.
Mm.
And he ended up in a, you know, and it just kept getting worse. The stuff they had covered, it just kept getting worse and worse. Well, eventually he made a deal, though, and he ended up receiving a sentence like 15 years for, and I mean, he had been doing sex trafficking, human trafficking, and child prostitution. He ran some kind of a pornography shop. It was awful.
Right.
And he was living this totally double life.
Yeah. He was living a lie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when we hear this stuff, and we've got a guy out here that's doing all this good and everything, yet he turns out to be a no good, you know.
It's a cover-up.
Yeah. Like that's a mafia guy or something.
God said test the spirits. Yeah. He don't care who it is. He didn't, you know, say, well, just these people over here. Anybody. Anything you hear, you're supposed to test the spirits.
And the only thing I could recommend to him is to leave the country, go to Canada or something, start over.
Get your hat and coat, right?
Leave. And please leave long ways from here.
Right, right.
You know? Take your filth with you. You know.
Well, as of today, 25% of Americans say they won't be vaccinated. But they said as long as they can get at least 65 to 75% of the population vaccinated, that won't matter. The 25% won't matter.
Yeah.
Because they'll have enough people vaccinated that...
If they're telling us any truth at all about the statistics, the vaccine is doing an immense amount of good.
And the mask.
Yeah.
And the mask.
So...
Because you're not, you know... breathing in other people's saliva and their germs, and like I said, I didn't even get a bad cold since 2020 January, and that's usually not me. So I may wear a mask anyway in a crowd of people because there are a lot of germs. We just didn't realize how much.
Well, some of them say that wearing the mask has destroyed a lot of other flu viruses.
Yes, they had so many flu viruses left over because they didn't have to inoculate people. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So that's fantastic.
It is. It is.
But the tribulation is still approaching.
So the end is still coming regardless of all that good stuff, right?
This was just a warning.
Jeff said, don't get too comfortable, right, Jeff?
Don't get too cocky about this because it's still approaching.
Coming. Still coming.
Those things, God is just saying, okay, you saw this, what happened? It was very, very uncomfortable and scary.
Yeah.
Then get it right with God.
Right.
Repent now while you've got time.
Amen. Change your mind.
Start
change
walking
your habits.
With Jesus.
Get new friends. You know? Absolutely. Read your Bible and pray. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior from sin. It's not too late.
But
not
it's
yet.
Getting there.
It's getting there, absolutely.
I believe you could still repent during the tribulation.
Of course. Well, I don't know. Don't wait.
That's what it's there for.
Okay.
Just to
we out of time.
Shake you up.
We are out of time.
Is that
thank
the right
you.
Time?
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For 107-year-old viral video sensation Virginia McLaurin on meeting President and Mrs. Barack Obama.
You said now you'd be able to die happy,